Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
More of His goodness today. And so today, before we receive communion at the end of the service today, we're going to hear a message today that I've entitled, God is Light. God is Light. Now open your Bibles with me to 1 John chapter 1, verse number 5. We're going to read this. I encourage you to, you know, like I do always, to if you're not used to bringing your Bible, not used to having something to take notes with, that I encourage you to do that. Amen. Praise God. And you know, we all have to start at one place in our life to go deeper with God. All the things that we instruct you, encourage you to do is going to help you in growing your relationship with God, and it'll go deeper in Him. One of the things that we tell people is that give us 1 year of your life, and if you will come every time that the doors are open, or at least the times that you can come when the doors are open. In other words, it's not picking and choosing. I mean, we have three services a week. We have one on Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. It's called the Healing Center. We have one on Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Both of those times are 1 hour, amen, of teaching. And then we have our Sunday morning service, which goes from 10 o'clock to whenever. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. But somewhere close to 12. Regardless, with that, we encourage you, if you will come every time the doors are open and take notes, and then go home and take those notes that you've taken and then go over them, restudy them, and apply them to your life, I challenge you, in 1 year's time, you will not even recognize yourself. You will have grown so much. I've had people over and over and over again say, Pastor Chris, you're right. A year's gone by, 2 years gone by, 15 years have gone by, and I'm still being changed by the power of God. Hallelujah. Can I get a witness in here today? So this is why I say, bring a Bible, bring something to take notes with. And I know I talk fast, and I'm going to talk fast again today. And so you may have to go back and re-listen to it and those kind of things. But let's begin in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. I'm excited about today. This is the first time Pastor Deb and I took over in 2002. So this is 23 years. And I've never preached from this verse. Not that I didn't know this verse was here. I've never preached a message from this verse. I'm excited about it today. It says, 1 John chapter 5, where have I been? Where have you been, Pastor? Well, I've taught about these things, but I never used this verse. This is the message which we have heard of Him, talking about Jesus Christ, and declare unto you that God is light. Everybody say, God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. I want you to see this part. In Him is light. And now notice this. In Him is no darkness at all. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Father, help each and every person to see the things you want to communicate to our hearts so that we'll never be the same again and walk in the light of your power, your countenance, and your will. And we give you the praise and give you the glory for it all in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone that agreed with that said, amen. So as we look at this today, God is light. God is light tells us actually a number of things, but it begins by communicating to us who God is. It actually is describing God's nature and his character, which is one of the most important topics for us to understand in the Bible, God's nature and character. What do you mean, Pastor, when you say it describes God's nature and character? Well, His nature and character reveals who He really is. In other words, nature and character means what He is really like, what He does, and what He doesn't do. Because how many know there's things that God does and things He doesn't do? And you need to know who He really is and what He's really like. That is a revelation of God's nature and character and who God is is God is light. Just now, listen to me. Just like the scriptures reveal God is love and God is truth and God is good, God is light also. Amen. So to better understand God is light and what it means, I want us to take a really brief look at some of the usages in the scripture where it talks about God being light. Amen. Now, I'm not going to exhaust this by no means, and I'm going to do this pretty quick. So I'm going to encourage you to take and write these verses down and as we go through them. So first of all, God is light. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, we looked at that. Jesus is called the true light that came into the world. That's John chapter 1, verse 9, and John chapter 3, verse 19. Both Old Testament, Isaiah 9, 2, and New Testament, Matthew 4, 16, testify to this saying. In other words, that God is, or Jesus is, the true light. That says in these both Old and New Testament scriptures, it says that the people that sat in darkness saw a great light. How many know when Jesus came into this world, he was the light of the world? In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said of himself, I am the light of the world. Next, the gospel of Jesus Christ is called the light, but because it reveals to man Jesus as Savior, and that is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. God's word is called light. In Psalms 119, verse 105, wonderful portion of scripture says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In Psalms 119, verse 130, it says, the entrance of thy word, O God, is light and gives understanding unto the simple. And then in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23, it says, God's law and his word is light. Amen. You got that? So God's light is actually revelatory. I'm going to say that again. God's light is revelatory, meaning it enlightens, it reveals, and it causes one to see. In other words, it means that it gives us the ability to come to know and understand God and who he is, but also what he's saying to us and how he leads us. We find this in Psalms 18, verse 28. It says, for thou wilt light my candle, and the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. How many know that God leads us by his Spirit, and his Spirit is enlightens us. Amen. His word enlightens us, and it shows us how to walk with him. Amen. Psalms 27, verse 1 describes God as a light and Savior who gives us salvation and thus making us his children, which he calls children of light. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5, and Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. Amen. So we see these things, and then the last example I want to give us and use today, just for time's sake, we find actually in Acts chapter 26, verse 18, where light is used to describe God, his power, and his works. Everybody say, God, his power, and his works. As opposed to darkness that describes Satan and his works. Amen. Matter of fact, I hadn't planned on doing this, but we're going to read this, or we can read this. I'm going to read it to us really quick here. Paul said it like this, that he's quoting what Jesus actually said. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 26, verse 18, he says, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that we may receive the forgiveness of sins and the inheritance of men among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Amen. Praise God. So once again, this is telling us that where light is used to describe, this is so important, God's power, His and his works, as opposed to darkness that describes Satan and his works. Now, by sharing the things that I did briefly with you right here today, hopefully this gives you a better understanding of what 1 John chapter 1 verse 5 says, that God is light and in Him there is no darkness at all. One thing that I want to make sure and drive the point home is for you to understand is this. All these scriptures are making a clear distinction between what is of God, the light, and what is of Satan, the darkness. And this is what I want to drive home to us today. This describes who the light is. God and His Son, Jesus Christ, and all the things that are associated with Him. And what light is to actually, what this is to bring into our lives, which is all that is good. Now, in James chapter 1, verse 17, here's what it says. You can turn there with me. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift. Notice, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of who? Lights. In whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning. In other words, God is unchanging. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If He did it at one time, He'll do it again. He is the same. He's the Lord who changes not. He is the Father of lights who gives every good gift and every perfect gift. It comes from Him. All that is good comes from God, because God is good and the giver of every good and perfect gift. We find this also in a very familiar portion, which if you're not familiar with, you will be after today, but most of you, if you're part of this church, are very familiar with this, and it's John chapter 10, verse number 10. In John 10:10, it actually contrasts the difference between God and Satan, light and darkness, and good and evil. Notice Jesus said, these are the words of Jesus, the thief. Who is the thief? Satan and all his evil spirits. Satan, or the thief, is come not but for to steal, only to steal, to kill and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and may have it more abundantly. Amen. Praise God. And so what we find here is the great contrast between God and Satan, light and darkness, good and evil. God is good, Satan is bad. Come on. Good things come from God, and bad things come from Satan. Christ is the giver of abundant life, and Satan is the thief coming to steal, the killer, and the destroyer of all that is of life. Christ's work is to give life, Satan's work is to take life. Now, if you're a part of this church, most of you, this is not new to you. And you know this, okay? But I want to encourage you, in a growing church, we're going to always have new people that need to know what they don't know. Amen. And what we're not up on, we're down on. And you're going to meet a lot of people as true disciples and witnesses of Jesus Christ, that the things that we have just talked about and are going to talk about, you're going to run into. In other words, not everybody knows that God is good and the devil is bad. You may think they do, but you're going to find out real quick they don't. And so this is why we must know this, and this is why it must be continued to talk about, so that you don't let these important things slip. Amen. Because you're always hearing things, and you're going to run into a lot of people that are well-meaning people that you're going to hear about today that say a lot of misrepresentation of God and what they think is of God. And when we say the thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly, as obvious as this is and as simple as it may seem, Too many people, including Christians, are confused about and don't know the difference between the works of God and the works of Satan. I'm going to say it again. Too many people don't know or are confused about the works of God and the works of Satan, and God doesn't want us to be. That is because they don't know what God is light and in Him is no darkness at all really means. When people attribute to God the works of Satan, they do not know that God is light and in Him there is no darkness at all. Therefore, their view of God is warped and God's nature and character is assassinated as people attribute to God the works of Satan. And when they do, you hear things like this. Now, I'm going to make about, let's see, one, two, possibly three, four. I'm going to possibly, for time's sake, make four quick statements and go through them pretty quick. And I'm doing this today, and I don't want nobody to raise a hand and say, oh, my God, that's what I thought, or that's what I'm thinking. Well, if you're in the right place today, because God wants your thinking changed so you can receive everything that God has for you. Because today at the end of the service, this table is all about us receiving from God everything that Jesus died in redemption to provide, which not only includes salvation and forgiveness of sins, but also the healing of all our diseases. And so I want us to understand the significance of understanding that God is light and in Him there is no darkness at all, and understanding that when you hear things like this, our thinking has to be changed. Because the four things I'm going to be talking about today, if you haven't, just stick around. You hear them, and many of you would say, "Oh, I've heard all of them," or, "Well, Pastor Chris, that's exactly how I think." Well, I'm here to change your thinking with the Word of God. See, I'm not changing your thinking. I'm not coming to change your thinking with what I think. I'm coming to change your thinking with the Word of God, because the Word of God has power to change your life and set you free and give you everything that God has promised through Jesus Christ. And so when people have the view of God is warped and they do character assassination of God, in other words, they attribute to God the works of Satan, then you hear things like this: sickness is a gift from God. Now see, you immediately heard the grumbling through the congregation, because you know that sickness is not a gift of God. Amen? Now, let me just make a couple of comments here. Would any good parent or father, amen, which is a parent, put sickness on that child to for any reason? Then, are we better parents than God? No. Okay, the reason I'm saying that is because then, write it down, in Mark chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. Matter of fact, why don't we just read this? Why don't we read this? Mark chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. I think I gave that did I give that to y'all or not? If not, I'll just turn there myself and we'll read it. Praise the Lord. Okay, I might not have. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. For everyone that asketh is receiving, and he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh it shall be opened. And what man is there of you of whom, if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask them? See, I believe it's the Amplified Translation actually calls this gifts to your advantage. And so here's the thing. Gifts here are called by Jesus gifts to our advantage. And sickness is never to your advantage. And no good parent would ever put sickness and disease on their children. How much more are we not a good parent as God is? If earthly parents wouldn't do that, then a heavenly parent surely would not. Our problem is we've heard too many doctrines of men, which are actually doctrines of devil. And when we say sickness is a gift of God, I remind us that Genesis chapter 1, verse 31 says that God made everything good. Okay? And both sin and sickness came into the world through the fall of the human race, and neither sin or sickness can be gifts of God, but rather all the works of Satan as they came with the fall of man into the earth. Think about it. If sickness and disease is a gift from God, then it will be wrong by any means, including physicians and medicines, to try to get rid of it. Yet even the people that will falsely say that sickness, that God put this on me, that sickness is a gift from God, yet they actively are working to take that gift off by any means they can. So how foolish is that? No, sickness is never a gift of God, nor is it a blessing in disguise. It is a work of Satan to steal, kill, and destroy. Here's another one that closely associated with, I'm suffering for Jesus. No, you're not suffering for Jesus. Well, doesn't the Bible say something about suffering? Yep, but it's always talking about persecution. It's always talking about your walk with Christ will cause the world to come against you with persecution. That's the only suffering that the Bible, outside of tests and trials and the persecution that will come for your close walk with Jesus Christ. Because I'm warning you right now, not everybody's going to be thrilled that you're walking with Jesus. Not everybody's going to be thrilled. All your old booze buddies and your dope smoking buddies and your running around crowd may not be thrilled that you live with Jesus and are trying to witness to them about Jesus, but whoop-de-doo. Come on, you're free and you're trying to help them. You say, well, Pastor Chris, they just tell me I'm just thinking I'm butter off. No, you're not butter off. But listen, you're not butter, you're butter off. You just think you're better than we are. No, I'm just butter off, and I'm trying to help you to get the same thing that God did for me. No, you're not suffering for Jesus. No, you are never to suffer, listen to me, with anything that Jesus died to redeem us from. Isaiah 53, write it down. You can read it for yourself. It says, surely or certainly he bore away our sins and carried our diseases, and what he bore, we're not to bear. It's that simple. I'll move on. Next, here's something that you hear when people, the view of God is warped. They don't understand that God is light. They may even love God, but they have a warped view of God. They don't understand that God is light. In him is no darkness at all. You hear stuff like this. God put this sickness on me to teach me something. That's nowhere in the scriptures. That's in the minds of men. That's made up by man to explain his experience away. But God did not put this sickness on you to teach you something. God's methods of teaching comes three ways in the scripture. You ready for them? I'm going to give you the three ways that God uses to teach us. Number one, the Word of God. That's found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. The Word of God is given to instruct us. This is why I teach from this. This is why I instruct you, not just to take my word for it, but to read the Bible yourself. Amen. And make sure the things I'm saying are followed by here. Amen. So number one, God's method of teaching us comes from the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Now, there's many other scriptures that tell us too that as well, but for time's sake. Then number two, the second method that God uses to teach us is the Holy Spirit. Having to know that the Holy Spirit is the author of the Word of God, but the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us into all truth, will teach us and show us things to come. John 14, 15, and 16, those three chapters alone, along with many other references, let us know that the Holy Spirit is called our paraclete, and one of the meanings of paraclete is our teacher. Amen. And then third, God's third method of teaching us all through the fivefold ministry gifts. That is found in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. Amen. We find he gave the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. In other words, that we no longer toss to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but having the truth, the Word of God spoken in love to us, we would grow up in all aspects of Him, the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the three methods that God in His Word said He teaches us by, but never sickness and disease. God does not teach us. Now listen, we may learn something by being sick, that you don't like it, and that it causes pain. You can learn from anything, but that doesn't mean that's God's method of teaching you. Yet there's a lot of people talking about, oh, God is teaching you something, brother. Oh, you just have to be patient in it. Phooey! Now, when it comes to anything that Jesus died to redeem us from. Then last but not least, you hear this one. Oh, I hear this one. Oh, God won't put on you more than you can bear. Oh, just hang in there, brother. Hang in there, sister. God won't put on you more than you can bear. I always say it like this. After they finish saying that, I say, no, but the devil will. I do. I tell people, I say, nope, but the devil will. And they look at you like you're just like a cow at the new gate. And I said, you have misinterpreted or misused a scripture or misinterpreted what 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13 says. This is the scripture they supposedly get the part on that God will put on you more than you can bear. We're going to read it together. There have no temptation. Everybody say temptation. There have no temptation taken you, but with such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above what you are able, but with the temptation also make a way of an escape that you may bear it. They mistakenly use this verse, which is talking about temptations of life, to say that God won't put on you more than you can bear. Listen, James, write this down. James chapter 1, maybe we got this coming up. James chapter 1 verse 13, it says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Or, what does that say? Or God has tempted me. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. Come on. No, the Bible, listen, the Bible clearly asserts sickness is from Satan. God is not putting any sickness on you. He's trying to endeavor to get it off. I got good news for you today. Hallelujah. You're not the devil's pack mule. You're not the devil's burden bearer. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, he's telling the truth. Look at your other neighbor and say, wake up. He's telling you something important right now. Luke chapter 13, turn with me. Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 16. Let's read this together. And Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity. Notice it calls sickness and disease a spirit of infirmity. 18 years, and was bowed together and could no wise lift up herself. Didn't call it a blessing, called it a spirit of infirmity. Didn't call it a blessing of God, called it a spirit of infirmity. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to the woman, "You are loose from your infirmity." Notice Jesus called it an infirmity. And it was a spirit infirmity. In this case, it was a spirit causing the sickness. And then he laid his hands on her. Immediately, she was made straight and glorified God. Amen. She didn't say, God, you never put on me more than I can bear. Didn't say that. She stood up and, she was glad she was free. And she glorified God. And now listen, and the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation. See, that's the people that are going to get mad at when you teach. You see, the sinner and people that are just normal, everyday people. Now listen, I'm going to rock the boat a little bit here. Oh, they glad to hear this. They glad to hear that there's a way to be free. They glad to hear that God ain't doing this. But it's all sometimes it's the religious folk that really get, just like in Jesus' day. You would think the religious folk said, "Jesus, thank you for teaching us that. This is not only going to help us, but this is going to help us to help other people." No. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, "There are 6 days in which men ought to work." See, it equated healing with working, God's work. "In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day." Well, listen, they could come every other 6 days of the week, but none of them got healed because none of them believed in it. Verse 15, "And the Lord answered them and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead them away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham," that's a term of salvation, in other words, that her faith was in the Messiah, amen, "daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound," not God giving a gift of a blessing, not her suffering for Jesus, not sickness on her to teach her a lesson, and not more, God is not putting more on you than you can bear. "And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound, laid these 18 years, be loose from this bind on the Sabbath day?" Now, I hope you can see the Bible clearly asserts that sickness is from Satan. Healing came from God and was the will of God. Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. How he went about doing good. Everybody saying good, doing good. And healing all. Everybody say all. That was oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. This makes it clear that sickness is called satanic oppression. Never a blessing from God. Never a gift from God. Never suffering for Jesus. Jesus took it off. The Bible makes it clear Satan is the one putting sickness on people, and Jesus takes it off. Matter of fact, we find in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, which says, "For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil." The works of God is to bring healing. The works of the devil is to put sickness and disease on us, or sin and those types of things. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. We are told here that the Son of God was manifest that he may destroy the works of the devil. And we just found out that sickness is part of Satan's work. Jesus came to undo and to destroy. Christ in his earthly ministry. Now think about this. Write this down. In John chapter 6, verse 38. It says, Jesus said, "I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." Jesus also said in the book of John, I only say what I hear my Father say. I only do what I see my Father do. Notice once again, he came down from heaven not to do his own will, but the will of the Father who sent him. So whatever we hear Jesus say and whatever we hear Jesus do is forever known as the will of God. It can never change. It can never change. Do you get that? I hope you get that. If you get nothing else than what I said, then this, you better get it. It means that whatever we hear Jesus say or whatever we see him do settles it forever, once and for all. It's the will of God. It can never change. If he did it once, if he said it once, it's the will of God, because he only came down from heaven to do not his will, but the will of the Father. Amen. And so, what we see, it says here that he came to do what? He was manifest to destroy the works of the devil. We just saw where sickness and disease was a work of the devil. We know sin is a work of the devil. But so many times, people think sickness and disease is a blessing in disguise, or all these false things. You've got to be taught the truth, church, or you'll believe the lie. Sickness is part of Satan's work that Jesus came to undo and to destroy. In other words, according to God, these works of Satan, they are hateful in God's sight. And Jesus came, whenever he came, he rebuked them all, and he was manifest to destroy them all. The biblical scriptures that we have read today, along with so many more today that we do not have time to talk about in the short time that we have today. The biblical scriptures conclusively show the fact that God is both the Savior and the healer of his people, and that it is always his will to save and to heal those who desire to trust in him. He's not just the Savior, church. He is the healer. He is both. And it is always his will to save and to heal. See, the big problem that people have is say, well, it can't be God's will to heal everybody because everybody ain't healed. Well, listen very closely. Let me ask you this. Is it God's will for everybody to be saved? Oh, yes, Pastor Chris, we got scripture on that. We got scripture on that first, too. Yes, here's what it says in Timothy and in Peter. It says God wills all be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. He wills none perish, but all come to repentance. So we know it's God's will for every person to be saved. People, many believers would not argue that are taught the word, would never argue with it's God's will to save you. And so I would say this, that if it's God's will to save you, then why isn't everybody saved? Oh. Because, see, they equate something being God's will automatically happen. But let me tell you why something's God's will doesn't mean it automatically happens. Because God gave you a will. He gave you a choice. He gave you the gift of free choice or free will. And so we're free moral agents. The reason every person isn't saved is the same reason every person isn't healed. Because you have to know that salvation is the will of God. Believe that and receive that. And this is why I must blow up as a pastor or as a minister of the gospel all these false pretenses. I need to drop nuclear bombs on every one of them, because without that, the inkling in our mind would make us think, well, it can't be God's will to heal everybody. And then if the devil can get you to believe that, then he will most definitely get you to believe you're one of those that's not God's will to heal. See, I got to blow all that up, because until that's eradicated, you can't have faith to be healed by God, because you leave it all up to God. But it's not all up to God. It's not all up to God because, listen, as far as God's concerned, it's already done. That's why his son came and not only died for you, but took those stripes on his back so that you could be healed. No, it's in our ballpark to know what the word of God says so it produces faith so that we by our faith receive what God has provided by his grace. That's how it works. I said, that's how it works. We got to know that. And until we get every iota out of our heart and mind that it may not be God's will to heal me, until we get that out, we won't be. You got to get it out. You got to get it out. You can't just even say, well, God, I believe that God heals sometimes, but not all the time. You got to get that out. It's God's will that all be healed. That doesn't mean all will be, because man has a choice. And God made it so that by his grace he's provided it, but we still have to receive by faith. And unfortunately, many people, because they allow these things to cloud their mind, these doubts and unbelief to cloud their mind, they cannot simply grab by or receive by faith what God has provided by that grace. They got to get those things out. This is why I'm dropping nuclear bombs on all those lies and those pretenses of the devil. Why I'm trying to drive it in you today that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. Hallelujah. You getting it? Praise the Lord. I know you are. Hallelujah. But as long as we believe one of these lies, like sickness is a gift of God, I'm suffering for Jesus, God put this sickness on me to teach me a lesson, and God will put on me more than we can bear, than I can bear, and the list goes on. As long as we believe one of these lies is of God, we'll keep it because we are embracing it when we should be rebuking and saying no to it. In other words, we'll keep the sickness. We'll keep the disease, even though we may not like it, but until you say no to it and rebuke it and receive God's healing power, then you'll keep it because you'll have what you believe. Well, I don't know if I like that, Pastor Chris. I didn't make the rules. God did. I'm reporting so you can be free. Hallelujah. And the good news, if so many of you have learned it and are walking in that freedom, the truth is Christ came to give us abundant life in our spirits, sound and deliberate minds, and physical health in our bodies. Christ came to give us that. The Lord does not want the works of the devil to continue in our physical bodies with sickness and disease any more than he wants with sin in our spiritual lives. Listen, if we would ever learn that, see, there's many wonderful believers in here today. Now, I get it. I realize that many of you are tracking with me. You agreeing with everything that I'm saying. But you're not agreeing just what I'm saying. You're agreeing with what God has said. That's what I want you to see. Many of you are doing that. I get that. But if we would ever, all of us, we see, as believers, we understand. If you're really walking with God, you should resist sin like the plague. Come on. And you do. When temptation and sin and those things come, you resist those things. You say no to them. Amen. You cast down the imaginations. You resist those things. Because you know that's come to steal, kill, and destroy in your life. It's not God's will for your life. There are the works. You know that sin is the work of the devil. It's designed to separate you from God and actually destroy your life. Come on. But if we will ever come to the place to say, I will no more allow sickness in my body than I would allow sin in my life. I will no more allow sickness in my physical body than I allow sin in my spiritual life. Until we get to that point, we ain't got to where we need to be yet. Because we need to resist. What I'm saying is we need to learn to resist sickness, and we can, just like we resist sin in our life. And you no more accept sickness than you would do sin. And the reason we shouldn't is because Jesus died to free us from both. If he didn't, then redemption is a failure. And redemption wasn't a failure, baby. Redemption was complete. An everlasting release from all the works of the devil by the finished work of Calvary we so wonderfully sang about today. Luke chapter 9 verse 56 tells us the Son of Man did not come to destroy people's lives, but to save them. Come on. Jesus said, I didn't come down from heaven to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Sickness and disease destroys people's lives. Therefore, it is not of God. I don't have to tell you or remind you of all the people that you know that have died with sickness and disease or something that you wish they had not of, and you saw the pain, the suffering, had stole, kill, and destroyed. That had nothing to do with the will of God. You saw it. You should detest it. And most of you realize that that was not a blessing of God. Yes, somehow, and we know that that is a work of Satan. It came in the earth through the fall, and now through redemption, we have to rise up as believers in Christ and say no to sickness and disease the way that we say no to sin. We need to, amen, that just like we receive the gift of righteousness through our faith in Jesus Christ, we can receive healing because it is a gift from Almighty God. He has never changed. He is still Jehovah. He is still the Lord your healer. We need to wake up every day and say, Lord, thank you for being my healer, my deliverer. Not just my Savior. He ain't changed. He has always been the Savior. He has always been the healer. But see, religion will tell you something else. I ain't talking about religion. I'm talking about the Word of God. I'm talking about a relationship with Jesus Christ and what the Bible teaches us. Christ came to save. And the word save, listen, is an all-inclusive word. It's the Greek word sozo. S-O-Z-O. It means, Scofield said it's an all-inclusive word and it's defined and used throughout the Bible like this. It means to deliver, to save, to preserve, to heal, to make whole. In other words, to give us life, but never to destroy it. Just like Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He came to save. Daughter, your faith have made thee whole. It's the word saved. It's the word sozo. In other words, it includes not just spiritual salvation, but the physical healing of our bodies. The Bible makes the will of God about physical healing as clear as it does about spiritual salvation. And that's the point I'm hoping you get today. And when we know and believe that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all, then we can receive all that Jesus came to provide, including salvation and healing. I'm going to ask the praise and worship team to come and be ready. And Ryan, if you would just play. Amen. In just one moment, we will prepare to receive communion. I'll let the ushers know when we're ready for that. We're not quite ready for that yet. But I want you to listen to me for a moment. There's so many people. One reason they're not in church. One reason that they never dawn the door of church. The one reason they're mad at God is because they have been told that God is their problem. Either directly or indirectly. I know I remember years ago, they've moved now, a couple that was members of our church. They were funeral home directors in Florida. And he told me, he heard me preach messages like this, and he said, Pastor, you're exactly right. I can't tell you how many times as a funeral home director I've heard pastors, well-meaning, but in error, stand up and try to comfort the family by saying, God took your loved one. God needed another flower in heaven. Thinking that that was the truth or a comfort to the family. And yet, for a while, it may seem like it brings comfort to that person. Because it brings, in their mind, maybe a thought of why. and the answer to that. But I can tell you what it does is in the recesses of their mind, they never forget this. And when they go home and close the door at night and their loved one is gone and the devil sits on their shoulder and says, God took him. Such a loving God, huh? The one that you love the most, he's taken. Huh? A real and loving God he is. See, the devil is unrelenting. He doesn't stop until you stop him. And the only way you can stop him is with the truth. And so if you allow that to go on, then what happens is it draws a wedge between you and God. And then it causes you to be mad about God. Ultimately, to the place that what happens is people stop coming to church. People live hurt lives. And it's all designed to actually get you to a place where you renounce God. And say, I don't want any more to do with God. Don't talk to me about God. And yet, I'm here today to tell you, as a believer, that you're going to meet people that the things I talked about today, they're experiencing and they live. And that's in their mind. That's their mindset. However that came, unfortunately, many times, it comes through them sitting in a congregation that's taught not the word, but the doctrines of devils and the opinions of man. Now, I'm not against church and pastors. I is one and I pastor one. But what I am saying, it's utmost importance that we get taught doctrine and correct doctrine. And we know the truth because only then can we make people free. And so what I'm saying is that you have to know these things. Not only sell them in your heart, but the way that you're going to get people back to God is by them knowing the truth. Because people have been hurt. And many of them believe it's God that's done it. But you're going to have to be the one that show them the scripture, know it well enough. This is why I'm saying it's that you take notes. You write it down and you go back over it. So the things that I preach, you would say, oh my God, I wish you heard my pastor preach about the. No, you don't have to say anything about the pastor. You just pull out the scriptures and you help them. And you share with them what God says in a compassionate way. I've had to do it. Pastor David and I have to do it. Not because, and we do it not because we're pastors, but because we're believers. He wants people to know the truth about God. And it's only by knowing the truth about God that you and I can get set free. Doesn't make a difference what we taught. And today you've heard the truth about God. So did you realize this? If today you're not saved, it's not God's fault. We'll never get to heaven and say, God, I blame you. No. No one will ever stand before God. I don't have time to preach it, but there's five main ways that God reveals to all humankind that he's God. Five ways. So that no matter who we are, where we live on this earth, we cannot say that there's not a God or a creator. He will reveal himself to those that want him. And so today, we must realize that if we're not right with God, it's not God's fault. And God invites us to have a relationship with him. Matter of fact, I'm inviting you today, if you've never made him the Lord of life. Matter of fact, I can just tell you, if I was in your shoes, I've never heard this before, I'd be so excited because I was in that place one time. And a lot of things that I said is wrong thinking is what I believed. Because I did not know one scripture. I didn't know the difference between Job and Job. The book of Psalms, or it just would have been the book of Palms to me. Now, I'm not making fun. I'm just saying I'm ignorant. And never think ignorance is bliss or won't hurt you. The scripture says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, Hosea 4:6. My people, Isaiah 5:13 says, my people go into enforced banishment or captivity because of a lack of knowledge. Today, the reason why we teach the Word of God like we do every week is because it's the Word of God that is truth, that sets us free, but only the Word of God produces faith. That allows us, that produces faith in our heart, so that what God freely gives by His grace, we can now receive. And so today, I invite you, if you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, I want to begin there because He is the Savior. And hopefully that if there's been things that have destroyed your or hurt your concept of God, today we change it because God is light and in Him there is no darkness at all. Whatever has been of dark of your life is not of God. No matter how it's been painted or portrayed by the devil or by people, it's not of God. It is of Satan. And we don't have to receive that. Yep, things may have happened, and you can't change that. But what are you going to do today, especially with your life and your relationship with God? Today, if you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, I want to invite you to a relationship with Him.